talk. JD Bunkus, Sam McKee, Leafs get a W in overtime. Good one for Morgan Rielly, man. Like, start with that. Like, guy has been getting buried in the chat nightly. Yeah. We just mentioned that he's been getting buried in the DMs with every single person that follows the show that doesn't feel like we do enough service about giving the guy just grief after grief. But yeah, it was nice to see him get one tonight. And I thought, again, by the reaction, you could tell it meant a lot to him.
Yeah, break up the Leafs decor here now. All of a sudden, all they do is score. Three goals in the last two games after going a full month. Like, Oliver Ekman-Larsson poking one home tonight. Morgan Rielly gets on his horse, shows off his beautiful skating ability to go from zone to zone. Good pass by Matthews, puts it on his stick, and he fires it past Fedotov or whatever the goalie's name is there.
Couldn't tell you.
Most classic Flyers goalie. Like, just the guy I've never heard of. It's just, maybe this isn't the spot to do this take now, but I was thinking about this a bit during the game. They're like, with goalies, they're the Browns QBs. Like, they've had like that stat of, was it 40 QBs since 1999? That's the Flyers.
I think any Browns fan watching that, though, you do that take is like, dude, shut up. That's like, nothing is like our thing.
Well, you know, like they've had good team. They went to the finals with Michael Layton.
Yeah.
Like, Brian Boucher got them to the playoffs and Michael Layton. Like, they've had the weirdest goalie situation my entire life. And again, it is. Like,
Checkmanic was the guy.
Ash.
And then
Robert Ash was hot in the street. They gave all that money to Brizgalov because they were like, we have to have somebody. They let Bobrovsky go for no reason. Like, they've had they've had goalie stuff. Anyways, they don't need to do too much Flyers talk here, but it's a cursed position for them. It's like, that's the guy you're going to against the Leafs? Like, holy crap. Anyways, nice goal by Rielly. And for a guy that is the number one whipping boy in the city in terms of Leaf players right now, there's no one that takes it worse than he does. Nice for him to see one hit the back of the net in overtime. Big moment. And the Leafs get 4 points in the back-to-back on the weekend with their third stringer in net on the second half. Good win tonight.
I'm not going to belabor this point, but I wrote down the Leafs I liked tonight and the Leafs I didn't, just like a little, and 44 was not in the Leafs I liked. So the goal was especially important because I don't think he played very well.
No, I don't think he's playing very well any night.
Yeah.
It's not, I think we could come on here and lead with Morgan Rielly not great every night, but I don't think we need to do that on the night he scored the goal. It was a good goal.
I just thought it was just important context.
Yeah.
I was like,
for sure. Good for him.
Great. You know what I did like, though? I liked a lot of the Leafs depth players tonight. It's probably not the way that you're going to show, but I'm going to throw Hill to be kind of just like in the mix on that because that's what he is. He's supposed to be the third string goaltender. Thought that he was solid. I really liked what the fourth line gave them yet again. It once again feels like the Leafs have found a little bit of something where those guys are creating. Like, they don't really give anything up and they're not banging home goals on the regular, but like that Oliver Ekman-Larsson poke, which you pointed out earlier, is like, that's created by the fourth line.
Yep.
Kind of just getting pucks to the net and then crashing. Like, look at them all just go there as hungry dogs.
It ain't pretty.
Not a hand amongst them, you know.
Just the puck split the five pieces by the time this line's done. But God, they work hard.
But don't you love it? Like, they bring what you're expected from a fourth line, which is just energy. And that's what I feel when they're out there. And they were solid again tonight. They created a goal. That one ends up being the game tying goal, right? That's the second one that OEL pokes in. And then,
that put them up 2-1. And then they tied it, right? I think that's how it went.
Cute one. Two nights in a row where the Leafs score, not just with defensemen, but with one-handed pokes.
Little pokes, I know.
Yeah, the poke boys. But I love that. That's like the cheeky pool shot.
Yeah, it is. So I like that fourth line too. Good mix. In terms of, I think Lorenz is one of the cleanest, heaviest players in the league. Like, has he taken a minor yet? I don't think he's taken a penalty yet. And he throws, I'm trying to think back, but there was a stretch throughout the season where he hadn't taken a penalty. You could check me in on that, but I don't remember him sitting in the box. Again tonight, he's just throwing the body around. He's responsible with his physical play. Doer's a dog on a bone. You know, he plays like a guy that's, 5 inches taller than he actually is. And then Camp's Camp, where he's just a rangy, good defensive guy. When the puck's in the offensive zone, he seals it well. He's a good cycler of the puck. Obviously not, exactly Datsuk with the hands out there, any of these guys. But for a fourth line, it's pretty much as good as you can ask for. Like, they go out there, they're responsible. They play in the offensive zone. They're physical. They've been really, really good here. And, that's a mix that you could picture in the first round of the playoffs being your fourth line. Like, if the playoffs started today, totally comfortable with those three guys together as a fourth line. Really like totally what I've seen from them. So, yeah, I'll agree and heap praise on them. Thought they were excellent tonight.
Yeah, listen, I think that when we talk about secondary scoring, you're not – like, you want your fourth line to chip in the odd goal, like the odd greasy goal in a postseason series, yeah. Right? Of course, so over an entire series, you'd like, you know, one – maybe two, you know, a couple yeah. that they find a way to get in. But I just love how responsible they feel out there too. Like, it just, it doesn't feel like they basically ever get hemmed in, and they are all fine skaters. And yep. yeah, I think that you made a lot of good points, but the depth guy that I wanted to point out the most out of all of them, and we'll circle back to Hildeby for just like a second, but it was Simon Benoit. I thought tonight he was like arguably the Leafs best player, like in terms of wins over replacement of what he usually gives you any given night. Right. He played mm-hmm. awesome. They lose Jake McCabe. We'll get into that too.
Yeah.
But I just thought Benoit stepped up, dude. He was awesome on every penalty kill that they had. He was yep. throwing the body around, but he was playing controlled. And you can tell too that he's just able to do what Craig Berube wants, which is, mm-hmm. hey, lay the body, hit somebody, and then get the puck out. And that's all he did all night long. It was awesome. Great game for him.
I think Jake McCabe can blame his boy Benoit here for starting the B under the bonnet of Garnet Hathaway, because this is if you're watching on YouTube yeah. or Sportsnet Plus, it's a monster hit. Like, he crushed just him. Hammered him, perfect timing, puck's right there, two physical bodies, he wins, rides him into the boards. Like, that's textbook stuff there, knocks off his helmet. And yeah, like, we're both Benoit guys. Like, he had stretch and stroke this year where he had to come out of the lineup, but I don't think he's immune to that. If it goes back down, then he can go out. Like, I think he's a guy that can mix in and out. But I mean, over this last little bit, he's been really impressive. And clearly he's got some warts to his game. He's not the best with the puck. He does have a tendency to like push it up a little bit once in a while, more than I would want him to. Like, he really has that feeling where he's like, I'm Guy Lafleur, his French brain.
Every once
like,
in a while he goes for a skate.
He's like, I'm Guy Lafleur, baby. Yeah. Like, I'm Jean Beliveau. Here we go. I'm skating up the ice. His French roots come out. But he really is impressive as a depth defenseman. And I love the physicality from him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, the Leafs D-Corps isn't really that physical in terms of like on a consistent basis, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's guys that'll hit.
Tanev doesn't hit.
Tanev literally has like six hits all year. Riley mm-hmm. isn't a physical guy. McCabe, that we'll talk about here in a second, he'll throw like a monster hit. But I don't think like on a shift-to-shift basis, Benoit is by far the most physical defenseman. And that's a really important cog for the Leafs. Like, I'm trying to think. Myers doesn't really like the body a ton.
I still think McCabe is their most physical guy, but Benoit is a close second.
Well, like, I think, yeah, I guess it's just a different, like, yeah, you're probably right. I think it's close. No. But Benoit lays the body.
He never sees a body he doesn't want a piece of. Like,
but those two guys are really important for the physicality of the Leafs back end. And I guess that's maybe a good way to kind of transition into what happened with McCabe.
Well, like,
Benoit has been impressive, and I'm happy to see him continue to play well here.
Yeah, all right. Let's go into McCabe. I want to circle back to Hildeby because I think it deserves more like than just me throwing him into the mix of the depth guys.
Yeah.
All right. So you and I were texting back and forth about this. Like, we both said the same joke, which is like, check the game notes for him in terms of trying to fight a guy who, is way out of his
way. By the way, check the game notes is potentially the greatest hockey story ever told. Like, I think modern that day, is one of the. That is one of the funniest hockey stories in hockey history. Like, it's on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
check the game notes, pal, or what, or whatever it is.
Check
one
the game
of the
notes, pal.
Time.
Yeah, it's so good. Especially since Alexander Dagg that throws him the game notes.
This is maybe one of the best examples of check the game notes. And listen, I hate Garnet Hathaway running your rookie goalie. He clearly runs him, but that's Garnet Hathaway. And this is scary. If you're watching on the stream here, it's a really scary scene to see your, you know, second most important defenseman barely able to get up. Like, Morgan Rielly comes over and kind of saves him from falling over here again. Like, it's not pretty, but it is what it is. Like, McCabe completely initiates this. I want him to step up there, but Kipper in the intermission coming off of this absolutely nailed it. You can't let him get up. You can't let one of the toughest guys get up and have the opportunity to drop his gloves with a much smaller guy that's not in his weight class where he gets to beat the crap out of you. Like, you got to put your knee on him. You got to let the ref come in there.
And drive you got to make anything.
Just anything. Get the knee on him. Like, just, you've seen it a million times. And that's
turn it into wrestling. Turn it into wrestling. I texted you right away. I was like, this is a classic case where it's like the one thing that guys should actually do when they take these boxing classes is not really learn how to chuck them. It's how to tie up.
Or because, to stay on your feet.
Well, that's just it. It's like you can't let this guy get the knuckles loose. And this one's like, you know, we don't often see this, right, in fights anymore where a guy just gets cold cocked and he's basically like, you know, got the visible concussion. But yeah, it's just that's one of the tougher guys in the league. And that's one of your most valuable players chucking with him. And yeah, I just hate it. And like, I know
he rank outside of the core four guys as importance.
I actually would say that like
one or two.
He's well,
like I said, goalies. Goalies are a different conversation, but goalies like, are skaters. Different.
If you're talking about skaters, like, yeah, man, there's six guys on the team that matter more than anybody else. And he's one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So you hate seeing this. And, but like, I can't talk out of both sides of my mouth because I've come on here on so many Leaf talks after so many games in the Keith era where nothing happens there, where your goalie gets bowled over and no one says anything. No one looks at him. And he made a mistake by letting him get back up. But like McCabe's an absolute warrior. And for him to even consider standing in there with Hathaway, I give him all the credit in the world. It's just an awful result for the Leafs.
It's unlucky too, right? Because I think the Conkle happens. Yeah,
when he fell, he fell on.
He hits his head on the ice. Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm with you, man. Like I'm torn on it too because I'm with you in terms of you want to see grit, you want to see jam, you want to see teammates stick up for each other. Blah blah blah. I don't think that Hathaway ran Hildeby's way out of crease.
He took the greasiest route possible. Okay. You're going to give Garnett Hathaway the benefit of the doubt? Like, he got hammered early in this game. He was looking to do that. Absolutely. Listen, no question.
Like, I'm not going to push back on it too much because he is who he is. But I just thought that Hildeby's a huge goalie who's outside of his crease. And, like, I don't know what Hathaway's really supposed to do on that play that you're really looking at him going like, oh, wow, that was so sportsmanlike of you. Like, that's just what his job is. He's an energy player driving the net, and he barely contacts the goaltender. I just didn't think it was the world's worst play or one that was worth literally, you know, getting cold cocked over. So,
but I would have come on here 100 times out of 100 if McCabe skates away and been like, what are you doing? So
I'd rather have the guy who just came back from a head injury not throwing knuckles with a guy who is.
Yeah, he shouldn't let him get up. He shouldn't let him get up, and that was a mistake. But like, he's got to engage him there. Things happen fast. He's a tough guy, and he beat him up.
Engaging was the first one. Then he shoots the second shot at him, and it's like, what do you think's going to happen now? Yeah. And so, as much as I love McCabe's game, I love the fact that he sticks up for his teammates and he does that kind of stuff. It's like, I'm not even mad about it. I guess I'm just mad at the situation because he's so important. And it sucks even more knowing that this guy just took a puck to his head and missed a bunch of games because he obviously had a concussion. And so it's like, you've now got one of your most important six players who's got to be shelved and for the rest of the season. Now you got to be thinking about this. Like, that's how these things work. It's, you know, there's no pure science to it, but you get one, it's easier to get two, it's easier to get three, and it becomes scarier the more that they compound. So it sucks. Like, it's not good for the Leafs. Sucks for Jake McCabe. I love the edge that he plays with, but at some point, he's going to have to kind of realize that, like, he's one of the team's most important players and he can't be the one that's doing that stuff on the regular.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, he's not a great fighter. He tried to fight.
No. Did you see how short his arms looked in that fight?
And he tried to fight Braden Schenn earlier in the year and got knocked on his ass too. Like, he doesn't, but he thinks he's tough. He's a warrior. Yeah. He just doesn't consider. Tough. He just doesn't consider that he's not a tough guy.
That's what I mean.
He's got to consider it.
That's it. He is tough. He can lay a huge hit, but he's got alligator arms and scraps, and he gets buried every single time he tries to throw the knuckles with the top tier guys. And it can't be a part of his game moving forward. It can't. He's too important. Even if he's just in the box for 5 minutes, it's like, you don't want him doing that.
It, like, when they flash back and the gloves were off, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, no. Like, I literally was like, oh, God, no. Like, I actually said those words alone on my couch. It's like, of all the guys in the league, like, that's Reeves' class. Like, that's, you know, that's the top class.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I got so many, like, oh, yeah, I got to start Reeves now. It's like, listen, I'm as tough guy lover as much as anybody. Like, there's no, like, what, Reeves is going to jump off the bench and take the fight? Like, it happened fast. Like,
yeah, that was an in the moment play.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
There's no difference there.
But I got so many messages about that. Does Reeves
even have a fight this year?
No, zero. McCabe has two more fights than Reeves does.
Against two of the toughest guys.
Yeah. Shen, did you see that interview he did after the Winter Classic? Where he's literally like, I just wanted to fight so bad to win the Classic. Like, you are the man. You are a dying breed. Man. Send him back to Hockey Canada to teach him how to play. Braden Shen. God. Legend. Yeah, no,
it's like the Sasky voice, the Sasky strong. I just love it. I absolutely love having those guys out there. Hildeby quickly. I just thought he was solid. He was good. The first goal he lets in, and you're just groaning, going like, "Oh boy, this is gonna be a long night."
Good shot, but need a save.
Yeah, sure. It's not great. Like,
he's an NHLer, full speed, coming down the wing, hits him low blocker. Like, you know, one shot, like 4 minutes in the game. Good game. Good save. NHL goalie. Need a save. Need a save.
Need that saved.
Yep. No question.
Need it again. Too far away from the net. Need that saved. Like, sorry. Don't care that it's perfectly placed. You're 6 foot, 1,000.
The tallest guy of all time.
I need you to be bigger there. But then the rest of the game, he settled in. And I actually thought that was a really good marker for him, because it was just kind of one of those games where Philly wasn't overly threatening, but he was just solid, made saves when he needed to, never really looked rattled, which to me is important for a young goaltender after he lets in a bad one. It's like, forget it, move on, make the next ones. And he did for basically the rest of the night.
Impressed by his bounce back ability. Because you know how easily that could kind of break you, and you're a young goalie. And listen, he's in a competition here.
Yep.
They called up, he got starts this year, and they called up an older guy that's been pretty bad to try him ahead of you. So this is a competition, and Hildeby earned the next, whenever the next start is, backup start is, Hildeby earned it. He looked way better in this game than Matt Murray looked in either of his games that he got. There's absolutely no comparison. So Hildeby gets the next backup start, and I was really impressed by him bouncing back. So good on him.
Like, this is a small thing, but he was good enough tonight. Like again, played really well. That if the Leafs are feeling like, oh boy, you know, we're on the fence about starting Wool tonight, maybe he could use an extra day rest on a non-back-to-back.
Like this week, when you have three games. Right.
Yeah.
Like Thursday in Carolina, you know, maybe you could try to get away with one.
That's what I'm saying, is like, he was good enough for your team to win just about against anybody tonight. Like two goals from your third string goaltender, maybe your fourth string goaltender, depending how you're looking at him. Yeah. That's brilliant stuff. Rapid fire time for me.
Is Willie rapid fire?
I think that's seven games now without a goal.
Really? Is that many?
I think so.
I mean, it's not just the no goals.
-2, I'm pretty sure.
Not -2 last night. -2 the night before. Yeah,
he was -2 again tonight.
Like, he's got to wake up here. He's got bad body language. He's not engaged at either end of the ice right now. He's like, they're on the first. I only got one power play tonight.
Yeah,
I think it was only one power play tonight. The puck, I think it was like 5 seconds into the first power play, they're starting to move the puck around. And like, the first opportunity he gets, he hammers one off the glass. Like, no, there's no setup. They don't have anything going. He's just pressing. And that line hasn't been great. That second line hasn't been great since like in the two games when Matthews came back. He's the straw that stirs the drink on that line. Like, Pacioretty and Tavares, they're good veteran guys who are great in the offensive zone and like can cycle it and do all that stuff. But he's the puck carrier for that line. He's the dynamic guy in that line. He's what needs to make it go. And he's been no good for a little bit here. Like, he's
the second goal against is like,
oh, it's just seal the boards, get the puck out, man. Like, that's just a brain. Not even just
that. It's like, the after he turns it over, like, where's the effort urgency to go get it back?
There's no urgency at all.
A light little stick play. It's like, dude, have a little ownership where you made the mistake. Nothing. What are you doing there? Like, your feet stop moving and you just stick out the stick and it's like, it's in the back of your net.
Yep.
So Morgan Rielly, unfortunate there, because he also loses his man, loses side of the puck. He's just kind of like all turned around,
but the whole thing starts because your winger can't steal the boards and everybody's scrambling because the puck's in a spot it's not supposed to be.
For sure.
Then Rielly loses his man and ends up in the back of the net. So, listen, Willie will be good. He'll come back around here, but like, he's making top dollar. You're allowed to point out when he's been no good, and it's been
100%. And he's been a while ahead. Yeah. He's been one of the leading goal scorers in the NHL.
Yep.
I think that this is always going to be a part of the experience where it's for like, sure, he's going to have his lulls as a player. I don't think that anybody's like panicking about him at whatsoever. Like, that's not the point of what this is. Like, actually, I shouldn't even said it because it's like so obvious that it's not. But like, yeah, he's been bad lately.
Yeah.
Like, 7 games without a goal for William Nylander is a long stretch.
Yep. Yeah. Like, when you're making over $11 million, you can't really go 7 or 8 games without scoring a goal. They kind of need them from you.
Not just that, dude. It's like, this is why when it is like when you see Nylander outside of Marner and Matthews, when it comes to the Leafs quarter century team.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure there are some young fans that are like, Nylander should be ahead of Marner. It's like, no, he shouldn't, because the baseline for those two players is so astronomically different. Like,
yep.
That's what it is.
It's just, the bad nights for Marner. Like, there's just no comparison to the bad nights for Willie.
Unless
like,
it's against Montreal and he's just so choking
or it's against the playoffs. Oh, it's in the playoffs. I mean, there's lots of bad ones for everyone in those games. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Well, we're talking regular season.
Yeah. Watching him almost cry in the penalty box.
Well, that buddy. But like, everyone's like, but Willie's so great though. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's Clark Gillies. Like, he's Clark Gillies in the playoffs. He's unbelievable. Like, they win 3 games every year here, guys.
Like, unfortunately, though, I just think that this is like, at this point of his career, the baseline stuff is never going to change. You're just going to have to deal with some of these nights where it's like, he's not there. Back to back against the Philadelphia Flyers.
That's good night. That's the night.
He's either scoring right away and he's going to be engaged trying to chase points, or he's just turning the puck over, putting the stick out and hoping and praying that his goalie makes a save. And in that case, he didn't. Rapid fire thing for me is just Pacioretty with the body, man. Like,
oh my God.
He got smoked twice, and then he gave one once in this game. And I love it, but it did have a moment tonight where I thought about his age and was like, God, he's going to be in the ice bath tonight. Like, that hurts.
So that's a penalty, first of all, if we're doing ref talk here. Like, that's a pick play that leads directly to a goal. And you're like, it was incidental contact. Trips are in an incidental contact. And so are, sort of high sticks. Those are incidental and, you don't mean to hit high stick somebody or trip somebody, but like a massive pick that leads to a goal early in the game. But anyways, Pacioretty's hammering, guys. And he has what, 5 of the 10 biggest Leafs hits this year. He just,
for sure.
It's once a week.
It's like between him and McCabe, all the biggest, and then Benoit. It's like those three guys, there's nobody else that even has them. And then
it's once a week, man. Like, and this is such a great, like that. I mean, I've been watching hockey so long. That spot on the ice is such a classic spot for a guy to get hammered where he's trying to turn the puck up the boards. And he just catches him perfectly shoulder to shoulder. And this is one where there just needs to be zero repercussions. Like he had the puck in his stick. It's in the offensive zone, separates the man from the puck. Nobody's hurt. Like, I get jumping in, but like, that's not a repercussion hit to me.
I agree, but the way it's happening and the way it looks for a second and like, buddy gets up right away.
Yeah,
but it does look like he goes a little high, and the way he flies, it's like you could just see his teammates stick him for it. Like, it's not like it turned into a fight.
No.
What I would say is I'd like to see how many of Pacioretty's biggest hits he ends up on the ice after.
All of them? The Jack Hughes one, he was lying on the ice too.
He's always throwing it with literally everything he's got and ends up on his ass. 9 times out of 10 with his hits. I loved his response here. It was very like veteran, just kind of smiling, like, okay.
But he's like, I'm an old guy. You think I'm fighting you? I just hammered you. Like, give me a break. I'm too old for this.
I liked it. You and I are big Pacioretty guys. Yeah. I can't believe it. It's like the list of former division rival players that I hated.
Don't bring up Spezza because it's gone.
I'm just saying, well, you did.
I thought you were going to bring it up. That's going to get the men in black stick for you, buddy.
Nah, I was gonna name old Turtleneck when he came to the league.
Yeah. Lou traded a second round pick for Lefkanis. Oh my God. Yeah, whoopsies.
He was a second. I thought it was a third.
No, it was a second.
Well, Montreal doesn't do it if it's not just like a beat down and of a trade. They were like, a second? Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah,
like,
yes, yeah, you're not. Yes, yes, of
done
course.
Deal. I think that's it for me.
Last thing, like Scott Laughton a lot. I think that's a guy that would look really good in blue and white. Local guy, good depth guy. Got a bit of an offensive upside pop for me tonight. Good skater, can shoot it. Bit of a nasty face to him, It looks like he's just – I like Scott Laughton, and that's a guy to me. I think he's a free agent after this year. I think he's a pending UFA, or maybe he has one more year left. Keith Jones came on Real Kipper and Born, I don't know how long ago, and they asked him about the deadline. He's like, no, we're not changing our plan. We're trading everybody. So that's definitely a guy that's available. So to me, that would be a really good pickup for the Leafs. I like Lawton a lot, and it's a good fit.
Yeah, don't hate that whatsoever. My thought is like, where is he slotting in your lineup?
In the third line.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, this is I'm going somewhere with this. Okay. I'm trying to
one more stall. Year at $3 million, says Christian.
Yeah. I'm just trying to go to the ice time quickly before Thanks, we Christian. Go. Because
Leafs ice time
I got here. No, I got it. Okay. I'm a little surprised by player of the game tonight. Like the list that we, I guess Hildeby. That's our list we put out there. Yeah, no, that's fine. He'll be fine. But yeah.
No love for the dudes. Dewar was buzzing tonight. Yeah, I thought he could.
Oh, I just thought, yeah. I thought that this was a Benoit game. So I would say that, and this is just be quick, but Vrue is dying to get Robertson out of lineup.
Oh my God.
Like 8 minutes tonight. Yeah. And I was going to say the Flyers, I'm pretty sure like this is his kind of Super Bowl game. I'd like to see what his numbers are against like Flyers, terrible goaltender back to back.
Yeah.
This is like the Nick Robertson special. And Berube couldn't even put him on the ice for more than 8 minutes.
Skip the shift for him. Put out Dog Willie over him for one. At one point.
That's what I mean. It's like, and just anyway, I know we hammer the guy a lot, but yeah, it's bad. And Berube's dying for anybody to be there.
Hey,
for him.
Third line to Scott Lawton and in the center with McMahon and Domi. Yep. Sign me up, baby. That's a good third line. So yep. I like Lawton. That's my guy. Officially saying it right now.
The trade value that was so to some just skyrocketing is like, yeah.
Philip Myers and Scott Lawton, the two pillars of Sam McKee's Leafs. A couple good blocks for my boy tonight. Couple good seal. Yeah. Couple good cycle stops.
Good Phillip Leafs Myers. Talk tonight. Just a classic episode of just, hey, we loved the physicality. We loved the depth
guy.
And Domi
relaxed with the elbow. And
oh, that was bad.
The third period. What was that? Like,
dude, this is the thing. Domi loses his mind sometimes.
Can't have it in the playoffs. Like, if this is the playoffs, I never forgive him. Like, this that was looked like his dad on. Who was his dad get? Was it Niedermeyer that his dad got? With the huge elbow, remember, when horrible. He got suspended?
Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, pretty sure it is.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, his dad's third all time in PIMS, and sometimes
what's that?
I don't know. That was dude, that was greasy as hell.
Greasy. Like,
real greasy. Like that's just pure headhunting stuff, which I don't know. Like
he might get fined for that.
I was gonna say, I think the league should fine him for that straight up. Like, I know the result is not horrible because he's small, but like you just can't have that. And I'll tell you this is like at least Kadri was awesome, like Naz, he's got some Naz in him where it's like, he just sees red and you're like, don't do that, man. But yeah, I don't know. I would say it's a little worrisome for me. Got to tell you. Like,
yeah. Can't have this in a big playoff game. You just can't. Yeah,
you could just like, they always got to have one guy who can do something dumb, eh? Like in the playoffs, like bunting and now this guy, they got to have
Bunting,
some.
Bunting won them their first round series when he slew footed Ruda. Well, who was it that he slew footed? The top pair guy.
No, it was
not Ruda.
No,
Chernak.
Yeah, Chernak.
Yeah.
No, dude, Domi's literally Charlie Kelly in the back of the van. Like I cut the brakes. Wild card. he's got to stop with this stuff. Anyways, subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, at Sammy McKee. Hopefully I'm gonna go back to a very good football game. Thanks for listening, thanks for watching. We'll see you on Tuesday night. Yeah, against the Flyers again.
Ugh. Oh great, another Flyers game. Yeah. Gotta start Reeves in that one. Gotta start Reeves in that one. It'd be a tough guy.
See you then.